Anybody who ever done anything great in their life had nerves. This is normal. How do you get rid of the nerves? Whining is not gonna help. Feeling sorry for yourself is not gonna help. It's okay, you can be sad for a day, for 2 days, for a week, and then you gotta continue living. And life is a lot more positive than negative. I took the fight on Dana White Contender Series on 2 days' notice. Being ready for the opportunity is more important than getting the opportunity. And if you don't get the opportunity and you stay ready, something's gonna come up. Something's gonna go your way.
I am so humbled and excited to introduce a legend, an athlete, a warrior, a black belt, a professional UFC fighter, an Israeli, a strong, kind Jewish man, and just a one-of-a-kind dude leading the fight on multiple fronts. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Natan Levy. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
It's awesome to have you. I'm gonna get right into it. I know you have a fight coming up next month. We're still in late February. What mission are you on?
Right now, focused with the task at hand, getting my hand raised on March 16th in the UFC against a very game opponent.
And what's fight camp like for you right now? How's that experience?
Fight camp is rough. It's a grind, but you need to sharpen your sword, and it's not the funnest thing for the sword to be going against a stone. But this is how you get stronger: sparring hard, training hard, pushing yourself. Even the recovery part is hard. Going to sleep early, no phone, no video game, going to sleep on time, waking up on time. And just your whole life, your whole purpose is aimed towards making you peak on fight night.
Can you share with us some of the things that you're doing right now to help, from a performance perspective, reach that physical peak?
Whether it is running, lifting weights, going over the techniques, going over the strategy, and of course all the stressors of the outside. So putting the stress of having your country being in a war on the side for now, being ready. Am I doing this right? Is this the right strategy? What's going to happen on fight night? Is this going to work? Is it not going to work out? Right. So a lot of thinking about the fight, a lot of focusing, a lot of, not second guessing yourself, but trying to see, okay, is this the right strategy? Is it fitting to my body type? Is it fitting to what, not only I see in his last fight, but also I see in his, trajectory. Where is he improving from fight to fight? Oh, he's probably going to be better at that, even in our fight. So, again, just covering all your bases to be as ready as you can.
What is your mindset going into this experience right now? You alluded to some of the strategy. Can you share with us how you're mentally preparing for this fight?
I'm mentally preparing to win. I'm preparing to for it to be a hard fight. If it ends up being, and it happened to me before, you train so hard, you run so much, you do everything, and then you choke the guy out in 30 seconds. Oh, man, I ran for nothing, right? No, you didn't. You ran so you can be prepared for the moment when you catch the guy and have the confidence to put him in a submission hold in a minute or whatever, and be confident that even if you don't finish it, you're still going to have something in the gas to keep fighting. So everything you do, everything I do, is aimed towards a war in the cage and a battle of not only skill, but a battle of will. And the fight usually starts when you get tired. So I plan on being tired. I plan on fighting hard. If it ends up being a finish, I'll be very happy with it, but I'm not counting on it.
When it comes to managing your nerves or your headspace, what does that look like? I mean, I don't want to speak for you. I'm sure you're not nervous, or maybe you are nervous. I don't know, but say someone else is going through a time right now where they're struggling to keep their head on straight. Maybe it would help inspire them to understand how someone like yourself, before they get into a cage match, prepares themselves emotionally to perform.
I think anybody who ever done anything great in their life had nerves. Nobody went to conquer the world and had no nerves, right? Nobody fought to defend their home and had no nerves. Nobody fought in a cage probably and had no nerves. If you're not nervous, then you're probably either you don't care or you're just too stupid to care or be nervous. I don't know. But it's good to know that this is normal. And people always write me when, you know, I do Q&As or whatever. How do you get rid of the nerves? Well, you don't. But if you accept them, if you know it's natural, you don't get more nervous from the fact that you're nervous. So we're all going to have, let's say, this amount of nerves. And then if you panic, you're like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Why am I so nervous? Am I not ready? It just goes up and up and up. If you breathe in, okay, I'm feeling it. That's good. That means I'm ready. That means my body is getting ready for something big. That means that the system is getting ready for a fight, right? The adrenaline is starting to pour in. So breathe deep. Know that it's okay. It's natural. This is what you came to do. And this is normal the way you're feeling. And you can take it even down a notch and you can deal with it. You don't want to get rid of it. You want to just deal with it.
I love that. You don't want to get rid of it. You want to embrace it. And that type of mentality is obviously coming from a professional UFC fighter that has an incredible record under his belt. And something else, obviously, you alluded to it at the top, our country at war right now, Israel at war. What does it mean to you to be a Jewish man going into this fight, representing yourself, Israel, and doing that on the brightest stage that is the UFC?
It means a lot, man, especially right now. You know, I think everybody in the country is fighting so hard right now. Our soldiers, of course. But, you know, what about the citizens, the wives of the soldiers, the husbands of the soldiers who are taking care of the kids, the people who are having their businesses closed because there's, you know, not enough clients because everybody's out fighting a war, like kids dealing with the stress of this war. So I feel like everybody is fighting so hard right now. So on one end, it's like, this is just a sporting event. This is just a match, right? People are out there fighting a real war. But on the other hand, everybody's fighting so hard right now. I'm going to also do my part and fight as hard as humanly possible. And if I can get the win, and I can, and when I do get the win and it cheers people up, maybe some of them are MMA fans, maybe some of them just hear about the fight. If I can push the morale up a little bit for one person, it's worth it.
Well, you definitely, I could say firsthand, you do it for me, man. So it really is just like, I just want to take a second. This is like the coolest thing, to sit down with you, ask you questions, and learn about your mindset. You did this awesome content piece where someone called you out and you have this brand, Jiu-Jitsu, J-E-W, with the rest of the word Jiu-Jitsu. Where did this play on words come from, and what was the inspiration behind it?
The play on word is from when I first got to Vegas and my Brazilian coach, you know, was kind of joking around. And when I started getting good at jujitsu, because I got here and I didn't know anything, I knew only karate. And I submerged myself in jujitsu, and I was doing it twice a day at least on top of other training. And when I started getting good, it was like, aha, now you know jujitsu. And he starts cracking up, his crazy Brazilian. And ever since, it kind of stuck. And, you know, for me, really, it's like people think it's like, you know, a ground thing. Like, that's how it started. Yeah, but it's more than that. It's more like I'm trying to promote like Jewish pride, and I have like a movement of strong Jewish fighters and just strong Jewish teenagers, kids, adults who are proud of their Judaism, proud of their heritage. And for a while, I was also, you know, kind of not fighting in the comments, but not far from it, promoting, you know, the promoting like Israel and why it's doing what it's doing, right? Trying to explain ourselves, guys, this is not what you think. This is what happened. This is what happened. And at some point I realized this is almost as big of a waste of energy like fighting it with somebody in the comments. Because yes, I still do it a little bit for those 10%, 20%, maybe that are like, you know, that are not sure what's happening. And maybe if you explain to them, they might actually kind of sober up. But for most people, they just hate you. They don't need a war. They don't need Gaza. They just hate us. And my goal is not to make them love us all of a sudden. Like, I don't care. You can love me. You can hate me. But you will respect me. Mm-hmm. And the way to be respected is by being strong. So my goal is to make Jewish stronger, Jewish people stronger, Jewish people more proud, more fierce. And that way we will be respected. And then again, you can love us, you can hate us. I don't give a shit.
I love the emphasis on strength. And on that note about earning the respect, there was that content piece where that white supremacist had called you out and thought he could take you in a cage fight. That was obviously a very big mistake. When, you know, Strickland recently went through something like this as well. When you know that you're super talented and you already know you're stronger mentally, is it fair to say that you already knew it was a win, but why did you still go through with fighting that individual?
Well, first of all, I never start a fight, but I never back out from a fight. He came to my gym and he challenged me. Now, I don't have the time, the will, or the patience to go up and beat every anti-Semite on planet Earth. I could maybe enjoy it, but, you know, that's not my thing. And, you know, if you do come and you challenge me in my gym, then yeah, I cannot decline. So we went through with it. And, and yeah, you know, it wasn't as hard as a fight as he thought it could be. But, you know, if anybody like that's watching now, watch the video, you can tell that at some point I had to take it easy on him because it was more talk than actual ability.
Recently, you dealt with a hell setback and now you're entering the ring. How did you manage your mindset in dealing with that health setback, and what does it mean to you to now step back into the ring?
It was frustrating, to say the least, because I had, you know, a few people canceled on me this year, and I didn't fight, and then finally I get that fight, and they pull me out of the fight. It was very frustrating, but at some point you gotta get over it. Like, whining is not going to help. feeling sorry for yourself is not going to help. At that moment, you know, of course, it's okay. You can be sad. I was sad. I was frustrated for a day, for 2 days, for a week. And then you got to continue living. And life is a lot more positive than negative. I took the opportunity that I had no fight to fly to Israel, where I thought I would have a great vacation, and which ended up being just the beginning of a war. And without getting too much into it yet or right now, even that, which is, you know, incredibly hard and incredibly tough, but I can't let it impact me 24/7 because I would just be depressed, right? So still have to smile, still have to live, still have to train hard. And the amount of stress that can go into just watching the news would leave a man with no energy to train, let alone fight. But you gotta keep pushing forward, and you gotta push through the hardship, and just make it to fight day.
And what does it mean to you now to step back in the ring after dealing with all that?
I'm still cautious. Like, I know I'm getting in the ring March 16th, but I'm very cautious of anything that could mess this up. Training only with the guys I trust. Don't want anybody injuring me or you know, just throwing an elbow when you're grappling and cutting you up, all that sort of stuff. So I'm still cautious, but I believe it's going to happen. And again, means a lot to me right now. This is the time to fight and show our fighting spirit in front of millions of people, and then represent the country and maybe do a good thing for the morale.
So you mentioned training partners. You're at a gym where there's a lot of top tier talent. Strickland, Ngannou, Chris Curtis. What is that environment like?
Very good environment to grow in. This is not your comfort zone. If you want comfort, go somewhere else. Extreme Couture is a very high-level gym with high-level fighters, very competitive, and just a good atmosphere to train at. Of course, you got to be ready. You got to be, ready for the hard training, ready for the hard sparring rounds. But at the end of the day, this is what makes you stronger. This is what makes you better.
Do you have any lessons from the experience of surrounding yourself with that kind of talent that you could share with us?
I think, Strickland, for example, I think a big thing is everybody's different. And Strickland, for example, is wild. You know, he won't do pads. He won't do drills. He'll spar and wrestle. I think wrestling is the only thing he does that's not sparring, right? And also it's wrestling. He goes live. He's basically sparring wrestling. Chris, a lot of cardio, a lot of running, pad work, always sharpening himself up. Some guys focus a lot more on the grappling. Some guys focus a lot more on recovery than others. Chris Curtis, no recovery. Training, oh, what's your recovery? I'm going to run. Okay, sometimes, you know, running can be active recovery, but sometimes you don't want to chill recovery. You don't want to get a massage. You don't want to get some physical therapy. No, man, I'm going to run. See you later. Okay. And, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's got their own thing. And I think this is also unique to MMA. I'm sure there's, you know, different individuals in many sports. But since MMA is a mix of a few different sports, everybody does it so different. It's cool to see.
You have an awesome platform that you've built over the course of your time as a UFC fighter and before. What was your mentality in starting to create content? What are you trying to accomplish by creating this content?
I don't know if I call it content, because for me, content is Yeah, it's something you create with the goal of, for me, it was more just about filming training. And even a lot of times I'd finish a class and I want to remember the moves we did. So I just have somebody film me doing the move we practiced today, and then I'd post it. So for me, it was more of a journal than content creation. I think the biggest content piece I ever did was probably, yeah, that video with the white supremacist kid. And even that, it was like, yo, he's coming to spar, let's bring a camera. Then my friend who had the camera started asking questions and, you know, asking the other guy questions and me, and it turned into this content. But at first it was just going to be filming a sparring session where I get to beat up a little Nazi.
I think it's actually really important, the point that you bring up about a journal, because as a top tier athlete, I mean, learning how to reflect on your form and the adjustments that you make from video to video, from day to day, you have real time feedback that you can actually accelerate and amplify your progress super quickly. And I think hearing that from someone like you, who's reached the professional tier, is very valuable for the audience, because they can now go back and start to, maybe they feel uncomfortable filming themselves because they don't look like Natan Levy doing a spinning back kick, you know? But I think those steps, and like you said, it's a journal that helps us go back, understand, iterate, and improve very, very, very quickly. I mean, I could say in my own experience that that's happened, where my form is probably the most important thing. When it comes to your training split right now, what does that look like?
What is training split? Like gym stuff?
Yeah, like when you're weightlifting, sparring, running, what does your nutrition look like? What does your training look like right now as you prepare for this fight?
So I'm sparring twice a week. I was doing MMA and boxing sparring, and now I'm doing, for the last few weeks, only MMA sparring. Doing strength conditioning twice a week. It's less like a split of like muscle groups, like a bodybuilder. It's mainly like some power work, which means like weight with speed, lifting heavy with speed, lifting fast pretty much, and then cardio and muscle endurance training. Then I'm doing also Muay Thai pad work. I'm doing boxing pad work to sharpen up my skills for the fight. I'm doing drills with partners for wrestling and jiu-jitsu, getting my takedowns, my submissions. And everything at the end of the day, for the training at least, is aimed towards getting me better in the sparring, because it's the closest thing to fighting that you can do outside of fighting. There is no replicating fighting.
This episode is brought to you by Slate Milk. Slate Milk is a protein chocolate drink that gives you all the necessary energy after you have finished a hard training session, or also serves as an awesome snack, whether it's hot or cold. I commute 2 hours a day to my job, and every single day after I train, I'm looking for a quick snack or post-workout drink that I don't have to spend time making. So I go into my fridge, I take out my Slate, and I hit the road as fast as I can and enjoy my drink on the way to work. That's the way that I personally like to enjoy it, because there's so many different flavors. So in the morning, the mocha flavor with the caffeine definitely hits. I can also recommend you check out their other flavors. It is a phenomenal brand. They are the number one partner of the UFC. You can actually go to their website, slatemilk.com, type in the code INSPIRED for 10% off your first order. So go ahead, type in the code INSPIRED at slatemilk.com to get 10% off your first order today. This episode is brought to you by ProMix. ProMix is an energy supplement brand that provides a whole plethora of different products, from protein cereal bars to protein shakes, probiotic, prebiotic, deep low products, along with electrolytes, and the list goes on. ProMix is the supplement
that I go to for all of my health needs. It has been a game changer for me over the last few months. After the 1,000 pull-up challenge, my immune system was compromised in ways that were super uncomfortable. I kept getting sick, and I knew I needed to level up my game. I didn't place enough value on supplements, but I do now. I spent some time, I did my research, and ProMix is the brand that I decided to work with because my immune system is finally in check. So go check out ProMix.com and type in the code inside the Inspired to get 20% off your first order today. That's right. Go to ProMix.com to get 20% off your first order today with the code inside the Inspired.
What's going to be your first meal after the fight?
Good steak, sushi. Usually you even have like a couple dinners after a fight. And just, yeah, looking forward to it, but you got to earn it. So I'm not thinking about it too much right now.
What was it like when you got the chance to sign with the UFC? What did that mean to you?
It was a big opportunity. I took the fight on Dana White Contender Series on 2 days' notice. Somebody got COVID and was sick. And during the whole COVID period, the gyms were closed. Everybody was sitting on their ass, eating just all day. And, you know, I ate my fair share as well. But I was also in the park training 4 or 5 hours a day with a team of guys here, mostly Israeli guys, wrestlers, boxers, MMA guys. And we were training together and staying sharp because I know chaos is a ladder and everybody's not ready. There's going to be an opportunity and I'm going to be the one that's ready. And the opportunity actually happened 2 days' notice. I took the fight. I won by third round submission. And it's an incredible moment. You know, finally, after years of dreaming about it and doing everything humanly possible to get there, you finally get there. So it definitely, you know, proved to me again, once again, that being ready for the opportunity is more important than getting the opportunity, right? If you wait for an opportunity 24/7, that means nothing. Be ready for an opportunity. And if it shows itself, you actually can take control of it and win. And if you don't get the opportunity and you stay ready, something's going to come up. Something's going to go your way, right? Maybe it won't be a 2 days notice, but guess what? You get booked to fight 4 months later. You've been in shape for months. You're going to do better. So nothing can really hurt you for always staying ready and always staying sharp, not gaining too much weight between fights, not getting too far from the gym. And of course, after you sign, you know, great. I'm so happy I signed. Now the real fights are coming.
Yeah.
Everything so far was the prequel. Now the real fights are going down.
So as you look and reflect on your journey through the UFC, obviously there's a lot to celebrate. And in your mind, there's a lot more work left to do. If you could look back on your experience and share what you think is probably the most valuable lesson that you've learned in being a professional UFC fighter representing Israel, what would you say that is?
The most valuable lesson? I mean, there's a lot. I think just as far as like, again, getting opportunities and being ready for opportunities, I think having a willingness to always learn and work hard and having a good attitude and being willing to push yourself and absorb knowledge and being somebody that attracts these opportunities and attracts you know, success. And, you know, the more you train, the luckier you get. So getting all the chips on your side, the luck, the hard work, I think it just works out for the better when you have that attitude. And people will also be more willing to give you those opportunities when they know you work hard, when they see you in the gym every day. When somebody wants to show you something and you accept it and try to actually learn, even if it's something you already know, it shows you something you know, you nod, you look, then it shows you a detail you didn't know. Boom, I just learned something because I was open to it. Nobody likes to know it all. Nobody likes somebody that's lazy. Nobody likes somebody that's cheap with their resources. And therefore try to not be those things to get some success.
I've had an awesome time hanging out with you today. I know you got to get back to training. I got one more question for you. This is a question that I pose to all my guests. If the future version of yourself, 10 years from now, were to fly in and offer you some advice in order to get there, what do you think he would say to you?
I hope he would say, keep doing what you're doing. But if he wants to come on his time machine and give me more advice, I'm open to learn.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Natan Levy, please let the audience know where they can keep up with your journey.
Thank you. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Natan_Levy, NatanLevy. And I'm starting to put content out on YouTube. So working towards it. I'm more focused on the fight, but of course there's some things that are interesting during fight camp and can be put on the channel. So I'm working for it.
Awesome. Well, we're all going to make sure that we tune into the fight March 16th. Thank you so much for today. Awesome to have you on. Good luck in the fight, man.
Thank you very much, brother. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.